One, two, three. Okay,
Well,
okay.
this is our first episode.
Yep, yes, that it is. We are the two happy little accidents. We decided to finally start some sort of podcast. Hopefully a few people out there will listen, but last thing we'd want to do is make you. So, you want to tell a little bit about
We're basically going to be basically like your nerds hangout. We're going to talk about all that nerdy shit, from gaming to comics to anime to Dungeons and Dragons, all that wonderful stuff. We'll just kind of like talk about it, just kind of give our opinions, just kind of be the basic little accents that we are.
I think we do that pretty well, I think. So
It's
we'll let
up
everybody else
to the
get to
people to decide.
I guess it is. So a little bit about what we plan to do with the podcast. We're hoping they'll stay about an hour long, although in the future, if we see that everybody wants maybe a longer podcast or shorter, I mean, we're fine with anything. But we're big nerds. We're not going to keep this a very serious podcast. Very rarely will it be. We want this to be just a chill thing for us recording it, but for anybody else listening as well. People try to escape with stuff like this, not get deeper into real life, I think.
Yeah,
So,
we don't need a lot of talk about Donald Trump here.
or anybody for that matter.
Nerd
So,
politics.
We're trying to keep it a little politics free because I don't think that ever does anything good unless you're there specifically for that. And I'm sure there are plenty of other excellent podcasts where you can go if you're into that sort of thing. More power to you if you are. But figured we'd kick it off, tell you a little bit about ourselves. I'll let Otaku go first.
Well, I'm otaku. I'm a major fucking nerd. I'm a weeaboo to the diehard side. And I got Hot Dog's the one who actually came up with this idea, and I kind of joined along with him because I thought it'd be fun, something to kind of distract me from the depressing things that is life. Kind of interact with people because I like to entertain. It's something I've always wanted to do, and I figured, hey, putting some friend of mine here is giving me the opportunity to do it, so why the hell not?
I wouldn't have done it without you, buddy. I'm same complete total nerd. A picture of a perfect nerd. So same things. I like Dungeons and Dragons games, movies and anime, you name it. I also like card magic. Really, really weird stuff. But I finally decided I wanted to start a podcast. I've been thinking about it for a while. So sure enough, here we are. And I hope all of you will. Follow us along on this weird little thing for however long it seems to last. We're planning on doing about two podcasts a week,
Maybe three,
although that
if we can have the time for it, but that's really pushing it.
yeah, but we would both really like to in the future if that becomes an opportunity. I there's no
I
oh
would,
I
yeah.
apologize for the oh you first.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I would definitely love to do this as a much regular thing because I think this is kind of fun. Just get to talk, entertain people, be weird. Just the basic
Oh
things in
yeah. Oh
life.
yeah. Yeah, totally. And I love the interaction too, hopefully. Any of you guys that end up listening to this, or girls, I'd love to hear feedback from all of you. I think we both would. Obviously, you can find my email in the description, but on top of that, there's also interaction. You can send in the voice clips, anything you want to do, anything to reach out to us to let us know that we're doing what you want, or we're doing the complete opposite of what you want, and we can consider stopping and doing something else. But there's no real format, and I apologize ahead of time. This isn't a very scripted thing. It's not scripted at all, actually.
Basically, it's us just
I don't have
ad-libbing.
anything.
We're just ad-libbing, just kind of
Absolutely.
for God knows how long.
I think we both would prefer that, and I hope you guys do as well. I like the unscripted, sometimes chaos of something like this versus the really weird, regimented, obviously scripted stuff. So I hope you guys can put up with that a little bit. But anyway, on to a little bit of talking. We've already blabbed our mouths off about the podcast, but What's something interesting? What's someone interesting we can actually talk about?
Well, I've just been obsessed with Mofu Mofu, the opening for Senko-san, because God damn, is it catchy.
I have not had the privilege to watch that show yet, but I want to.
Literally
As I
goes,
think.
one of the lines is literally, one more shidoobie-doo Mofu Mofu, two more shidoobie-doo-boo Mofu Mofu, forevermore shidoobie-doo Mofu Mofu. It's so
I need
catchy.
to.
It's
Yeah,
so catchy.
I need to just watch the show because I love the manga. I think we talked about that the other day. God, that manga is just so innocent and
It's
adorable,
so
and it's just
pure. It's
beautiful.
one of the most pure things
Yeah.
I've seen in a long time.
I'm a moe. I'm definitely moe trash. I mean, I might like drama or action or anything like that, but I'm always going to be flocking back to that same slice of life, moe
Let's be
trash.
honest here. Every weeb is a moe nerd at one point. They want to say they're not into moe trash and shit, but let's be honest, they really are. They just don't want to admit because they don't want to feel like a basic bitch. They want to feel like the hipsters of the anime community. Oh, look at all this underground anime I watch. Look how cool I am. Nah. You watch moe, you're like us. Don't try to act better.
You're the same as everybody else. You've watched
You're
your
just
spare
part
share buckets of.
of the collective.
Yes, the hive mind of moe blobs.
It will
Oh my
infiltrate
god.
everything.
I'm trying to think. I have to say, and I know we talked, I think you and I were talking about this the other day too. I really, really love both of the OPs to Shield Hero, The Rising of Shield Hero. The show is excellent. The OPs are, I think, even better than the show. They're some of my favorites. And
Those are some
that's
bold words there. Are you sure you want to get crucified by the community already? I mean, this is the first episode.
the show is good. I'm not saying it's not good, but the theme songs are like I hold both of them up on the same pedestal as like a Cruel Angel's thesis. Like really, really good. So I don't
Understandable.
know if the show reaches the exact same caliber as those shows, but the music definitely, definitely does.
Some of my favorite anime music in the past like 5 years is easily the opening and ending for Yojo Senki, especially the first ending. That first ending was so catchy, and I was hooked from the first moment I heard it.
I like them. They're nothing special. They're just a good theme song.
Ouch.
Yeah. I mean, they're not bad.
Mega
They're just good.
oof.
They sit in the same spot for me as something like, ooh, let me see.
Well, for me, the
God.
reason why I like mainly the ending, Lost, so much, is because of how well it fits thematically with the show. The entire ending is literally Tanya giving a speech to her 501st Mage Battalion.
Yeah, I mean it does fit the theme. I'll give it that. It definitely does an excellent job fitting the theme of the show like a glove. But as an actual song, I don't know if it achieves that, but songs are music and I mean
I mean,
what am I trying to say? Music.
when you listen to the German version of it from Celsius, man, that just takes it up a notch. It goes from being decent to now we have full on German, and it sounds so beautiful.
Yeah, I think that'll make everything sound a little bit better.
Oh, speaking of, I'm actually learning Dutch.
Just Dutch.
Yeah, I'm gonna use. From what I hear, Dutch and German are actually quite similar with a lot of things, so I can take what I've learned from Dutch and kind of learn German at the same time with it without confusing
Oh
myself too
yeah, oh
much.
yeah.
Yeah,
There's a lot of similarities there.
I have a friend. Yeah, I have a friend from the Netherlands who's teaching me how to speak Dutch.
That's pretty cool. I'm still trying to learn German, actually. I love the language, but it's a slow and arduous process learning any language.
Oh yeah, especially getting used to the pronunciation and sentence structures. Grammar is the worst part. I don't care what anyone says. It's easy to learn the words. It's hard to learn the grammar because when you have such a like strict, rigid grammar structure like English, going to learn something like Japanese or something where the sentences are literally in reverse, It's like,
Yeah.
oh, this is a nightmare. How am I ever going to learn this?
Yeah, most all of the Asian languages are, especially for someone a Western language, like someone that knows English, but they're trying to learn, say, Japanese or Chinese, it's supposed to be really, really hard because everything about it, the core structure of the language itself, is completely different. So it's going to be a lot harder to pick up than, say, like someone speaking English that tries to learn Spanish or something like that. Or like you're saying, someone who speaks German trying to learn Dutch. It's easier if it's a similar, at least structure, like you said, the grammar. If even just the grammar is kind of the same, it's easier to pick up on.
I think like when it comes to Japanese in general, why it trips so many people up trying to learn it for the first time is the fact that you have to be a good listener when it comes to Japanese. Because sentence structure is implied. Some certain words have so many different meanings depending on the structure of the sentence. You have to literally listen to every single word that's said before you actually understand what they're saying. So you have to be a good listener.
Yeah, that does kind of reflect, I think, the language as a whole. It's very much not a utilitarian language. It's not made to be like written first, and get the point across straight, no matter what. That word's going to mean the exact same thing. It's very much like based on, like you said, the context, and the way it's said, and things like the sentence structure and everything can make a word be a completely different word. It's very much, which is awesome in its own right, like an artistic language, but it is absolutely not going to be easy to learn it.
Yep. And man, I really need to stop going on tangents and just completely changing the conversation every 5 seconds. But on the subject of this, the more you kind of look at Japanese culture, the more you realize that it took a lot of inspiration from Chinese culture.
I mean, yeah, there's some of that there. I mean,
Especially like one of the big things that's kind of interesting is if you really look back in history, like really, really far back enough in history, you'll realize that the original like ninja and shinobi and stuff originated in China.
yeah, there's a number of similarities. I'd actually like to hear, like, anybody who's from Japan or China or anybody like that, that would end up listening. Tell us about, like, maybe some similarities you've seen, or like differences. Tell us about differences between the two, or like where one thing might have started in one culture and got altered a little bit into the other culture. I'd love to hear about some of that, actually, because I know in a lot of cultures that share close, whatever it is, close borders or trade ties or whatever it is, you get similarities in the language and the fashion and everything else. Some of it transfers over. I'd like to hear, like, what is some of that over there, over in Japan, like I said, China, or anywhere like that. Even non-directly, just like, I don't know. I don't know. I was about to go on a crazy tangent, but anyway,
Tangents are fun.
they can be fun. They can be scary too, but they can be fun.
Absolutely terrifying. You're tackling a behemoth of a subject you know you shouldn't be getting into, but your mind
Yeah.
just won't shut up. Your mouth won't stop moving, and there you are. You're stuck, and now you have to deal with these raving maniacs, and you don't know what
Yeah.
to do.
Not calling anybody listening a raving maniac, but
We're the raving maniacs.
yeah. You're the ones having to put up with the raving maniacs, us.
I'm just reflecting the viewer experience.
Oh, you're walking a mile in their shoes.
Trust me, this might get wild with how we talk, especially some of our conversations, because we've gone on some tangents before.
It happens from time to time. It happens. I like talking. I also don't like, but it happens far too often, talking myself into holes, actually giant pits. Just like I'm just stuck in it, stuck in the pit.
Just keep digging. If you keep digging further, maybe you'll get out. Maybe you can dig enough and leave enough dirt behind that'll build a wall back up.
Maybe we'll dig our way to China and be able to tell the similarities and differences between Chinese and Japanese culture.
China.
Don't go there. Don't even. So,
Did you finally listen to Bismarck like I told you to?
I did finally listen to that. And to anybody who doesn't know what off the top of their head what that name is, that's the most recent song from Sabaton. They're an excellent, excellent band. But yeah, I did finally listen to the song. I like it. I like it a lot. It's not the same tier as some of their other songs. Like even the one, I think it was the one just before that, Primo Victoria, one of their best songs ever made.
Primo Victoria was a couple albums back. The most recent album was their Heroes album. The Last Stand, Shiroyama, Lost Battalion, those were some of the more recent songs.
Yeah. All of that album was excellent. Hands down, that was their best album, and it was awesome. Bismarck was okay. It was a good song. It wasn't excellent like those, especially when directly compared to some of the, like, I mean, everybody knows The Last Stand. That's an iconic meme song and everything now.
Yeah.
So especially compared to something of like its tier, it doesn't really even hold a candle, but it is a good song. I like
Yeah, I
it.
can't agree with that, but I will say one thing. That is one of the more heavier metal songs they've played. It's just so heavy metal. You have enough metal there to rebuild the Bismarck, the hood, and have enough ammunition to have a rematch.
I definitely don't think that this is the band that's brought us things like The White Death. It's just really, really metal songs.
Yeah. It is, you can't deny though that it is one of the more heavier metal songs, especially with how like meaty those guitar riffs are. They're definitely a lot
The guitar,
they're definitely were they
yeah.
definitely were a lot darker than some of the other songs. It definitely was not near as like I wouldn't say lighthearted, but like it wasn't as energetic, but it was more of a hard, straight up in your face kind of play.
Yeah, it was very beefy. It was very like slow and deliberate. It was like the Dark Souls of music.
Okay, are we just gonna use Dark Souls of everything now? Because I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. But at some point, we need to chill out with Dark Souls reference.
I'll never chill out with the Dark Souls references.
Know, on the subject of
Listen,
Dark Souls, I really want to play Sekiro.
I do too.
That
I'm
looks
planning on picking
so
it up
fun.
soon. Yeah, it does. It's weeb trash, so it's already won some points with me, but I do definitely want to play it because I love Dark Souls. Bloodborne's like tied for my favorite game. I adore that
Like,
one.
honestly, the best
I'm
way to
really
describe
curious.
Sekiro is if it's like the methodical combat of Dark Souls got mixed with the aggressiveness of Bloodborne. But you have like nonstop movement of something like Titanfall with how you can just literally like grapple to everything.
Yeah,
You're
it
just
gets a lot
constantly
more.
moving. It's so much more fluid than all the other games they've released. It's
Yeah, it's much more
so fluid.
vertically built. Yeah. I love From Software. I have to say my favorite Dark Souls is by far Dark Souls 3, and that's probably my other favorite game they've probably ever made. Dark Souls 1 is a tiny bit too clunky, and I know that's a serious. I think that's a crime,
Well, that's
but
just a crime by the diehards who really love the Dark Souls franchise. They'll always grasp to number one, but they just don't want to admit the problems that one does have, especially, and let's not even get started on Blighttown. That it took till the remaster before Blighttown was even playable because the frame rate drop was just so horrendous.
yeah. But I don't, and I definitely don't like 2, and I know you do enjoy 2 to some degree, but since I
Two
have
is
zero.
my favorite. I ain't gonna lie. Two is my favorite Dark Souls. While yes, it was my first, the mechanics of Dark Souls 2 were some of my favorite. Especially the fact that there was a lot more consequence in 2. 2 was definitely a lot harder than 1. And yeah, people will complain about the artificial difficulty of if they just throw more people at you, how's that? That's just artificial difficulty. But you also gotta think, stamina was much more important. Your dying had much more consequence with your max HP being decreased over time. And
Yeah.
my favorite standing point of all of it, the fact that your durability actually freaking matters. You can't just
Well,
run
I mean,
around forever and keep swinging and never worry about durability. You would actually break your weapons pretty damn quickly.
yeah, that one had the quickest times to break, and it was actually I don't like it. There's a fine balance. I think Dark Souls 3 does a pretty good job with the balance on that, but Dark Souls 2 was too crazy in the other direction with it, and it would just break nonstop,
And I can admit the
which.
major flaws too, especially with a lot of like the boxy room designs. The room designs were very there are some areas that were very, very intelligent, very well put together, and there are some player areas that were just very unoriginal. They were just room after room. It wasn't nothing special. It wasn't nothing we haven't seen before. But there were certain areas that were amazing. Like one of my favorite rooms was fighting the ancient wyvern in the giant cage above the forest. Like that was intense. That was a hard fight because like you have to constantly like the dragon's constantly moving. It's never in one place. It's such an aggressive fight. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's still people still play it. They still do like it. It has a fan base, but I'm definitely not one of those
I
people.
think we can
I
all agree,
think.
though. I think we can all agree Dark Souls 2 had the best PvP out of all of them.
That's, yeah, I never do much of the PvP, but that's what I've always heard. Even my brother says that. He's a big PvP player. He definitely goes on about how that one has the best PvP by far.
Mainly because of the power stance system, it just added so much uniquity to the builds. But magic was so viable. Like, you could easily run a magic build. Like, one of my favorite builds was playing a magic swordsman. There was a specific sword called the Blue Flame Sword. You had to go about, it wasn't until like mid to late game before you got the sword. So I didn't even learn about the sword till mid late game. But once I did, not only does it double as a pretty decently strong sword that does magical damage, but it also acts as a staff so you can cast from it as well.
Okay, then. Okay. It definitely seems a little almost overpowered,
It seems like it's
but.
overpowered, but the problem is they balance it out by giving it a low durability. I think it only has like 30 durability on it. So it breaks
Oh,
very
okay.
quickly. So you have to kind of be very wary of what you're doing. You're either going to be focusing heavily on your magic or heavily on the combat, because if you try to mix within the two, you do have to be very careful with your durability. But that's what I like about games like that. I like games that make me be have to think methodically, kind of make me put thought into it. Just because my mind is such a jumbled mess, I just like to have something that can make me focus and make me think about what I'm doing.
Yeah, just to slow down for a second, focus. Yeah. I think that's a decent place to end that real quick. We'll go ahead and move on to the next segment, and I'm about to actually go get up and grab something real quick. But for future reference for any viewers, this is where we would have like an interaction type of section where we would listen to a few of your voice lines and stuff like that. We'd answer questions that you guys would reach out and ask. Any of that kind of thing for the next little bit. Obviously, we don't have any of those yet. I hope we can soon, but for now, I'm gonna go do something. I'll be right back. I am back, and I just
Oh, thank
heard you
God.
say the words trigger.
I was just talking about different things I enjoy to help fill the void.
Yes, the void, it does come for us all.
Oh, speaking of the void, shall we get into our Dungeons and Dragons game that we had?
I was going to mention that. We do Dungeons and Dragons for anybody interested. Just a little more insight into some things we do. We do play Dungeons and Dragons when we get the chances. And you'll probably hear some stories about that. In fact, in the future, I don't know if it's possible quite yet, but in the future, there might be some way to keep you a little more up to date on that as well for any of you that would be interested. But for now, you might just have to deal with our ramblings and musings about our adventures.
Oh man, that was that session, that very first session you ran that we played together, that went from so basic and so simple to 100. It escalated so fast. Things
That
just
escalated quickly.
that really got out of hand.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going for. Because
Start off by killing just a few kobolds to hatching a dragon egg, and now we're fighting Cthulhu's younger brother. Oh, shall we tell them about the Great Mafia Escape? Because I believe that was some of the most luckiest rolls I've ever gotten in Dungeons & Dragons history.
Yeah, if you want to, go ahead.
So, me with my character, Rachnus, who is a black dragonborn ranger, who got really freaking broken later on. Like, it was just scary, the damage I was able to put out. I was on par with our barbarian with my DPS. It was scary. But I was with our friendly wizard necromancer, our little drow friend. Her name was Yuki. We were captured by Mafia in Neverwinter. I don't even know how this worked, but it did. She used Thunderbolt, or Thunderwave, I believe it was, and knocked everyone back. And in that short time, I had freed my hands, and then cast on both of us, passed without a trace. Then she, in turn, instantly cast invisibility. So, for all intents and purposes, we went invisible. Just like that. Just gone. Disappeared. By the time everyone recovered, we were already out of the room. We had went upstairs trying to get out. We found our way out through some wonderful rolling. And I think some of the best part is, once we realized that our weapons were still downstairs, especially my favorite weapon, Shatterkusen, which was a semi-automatic burst fire crossbow that transformed into a longbow that split in half into two short swords. It was a wonderful weapon. I got cocky. I went back down there to get it. I grappled the guy. I knocked him unconscious, and by the time he hit the ground, everyone's just, because they still can't see me. I don't make any noises when I move. I'm invisible, just gone, just not there. So it's just seeing, like, on the ground, I'm like, what the hell happened to this guy? So I went in, got my weapon. I came back out, and I'm like, you know what? Let's fuck with these guys. So I roll my charisma check to see if I can convince them I'm a ghost. It worked. They were shitting themselves. Saying things like, oh no, man, the ghosts of the people you killed, they come to get revenge! I threw a couple knives at people, acting like a vengeful ghost, scaring the shit out of everyone, and I just kind of got out. We stole some ledgers from the business, and we went over to the Hall of Justice right afterwards, reported the whole situation, and we just barely missed it. But apparently, after that, one of the greatest raids in Neverwinter history happened. And there was a Neverwinter Civil War for, how long was it, Hot Dog?
Ooh, don't ask me, I don't remember.
I think it was like a 5-year Civil War in Neverwinter because the Mafia was just so deeply rooted into the city.
Yeah, that was one of the crazier segments of that whole campaign.
We also have the wonderful story of Rachnus's modern solution, but I think we'll hear them with that another time. That was...
Yeah, I say give everybody a good taste of a Dungeons & Dragons story every time.
Yeah, just a little bit of our campaigns and stuff.
In the future, we could even start branching out and doing more stuff, maybe a D&D-oriented thing sometimes, but right now we'll just keep it like this. I was going to say something.
Verna punching Frederick Pentagast, the croissant-loving politician in an alley, punching through his head.
I'd already forgotten about that.
Starting a war just because you didn't want to hear about some guy asking for croissant.
It was far more than that. It was a character-building moment, and I'm not going to say it again.
Premeditated head-punching.
Yes. But I was going to say something about Dungeons & Dragons, and I've completely forgotten. So I guess unless you've got something else to say, we can maybe try to move on or something.
Zappelli is the most favorite character I've ever made. Nothing has popped Zappelli so far.
He's an excellent character, and this is we've run two campaigns. Well, that was the first one he was talking about. Mine that ended a little bit back, but we started a new one. He's Otaku's running this one, and he created a beautiful merchant called Zip. I can't remember what he started as, but he ended up as Zappelli, whatever it was.
He started off at like Zamboroni, then like he just changed the Z name until he just kind of stuck with Zappelli. He
And
really doesn't
he
care
is.
what people call him as long as it starts with the Z, but Zappelli has a nice ring to it, so he kind of stayed with it. And the best part
Yes,
is,
he
like, his
is.
shop isn't just any ordinary shop. It's a geometric monstrosity, is the best way to describe it. Like, it almost looks like it's a 20-sided die that has just multiple corners and like jagged edges, and it's just like multiple stories tall. But none of the other stories actually lead anywhere. It's just they're just there to look horrible and horrendous. And the best, I think, the best part we ever had with Zappelli is when Zappelli gave away a weapon to Verna, which is a Hot Dog's character, who is a crazy mad scientist. It was a demon dick that we have called Baphomet's Bulge. It is a bludgeoning weapon. It's a
I
petrified
forgot
demonic
about
penis.
that.
It
I'd completely forgotten about that.
also, whoever wields it, it will whisper to say, it'll say all sorts of naughty, dirty things to them.
And I've still been meaning to ask you what exactly possessed you to make that an item in the game.
I honestly wasn't planning to, but when you guys started talking about you can make that an actual bludgeoning weapon, I'm like, this is gonna be a thing.
Hoo
See,
boy, hoo boy.
I also have an idea to give you guys a bunch of magical items later on, but they're going to be cursed. But the curses aren't like things like that debilitate you, but they're more like role-playing things. Like you get like this enchanted pirate hat that increases your armor class by 2. But now you're cursed to talk in a pirate accent until the curse is removed. You cannot take off the hat, and you'll have a horrible pirate accent for the rest of the game until it's removed.
Arg, that is horrible. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I am proudly ashamed of myself. I am a shameful human being.
Okay then. Okay, as long as you know what, to each own. As long as you're happy, I'm happy.
Yeah, that's
Let's
one
see
thing we
here.
definitely like to that's one thing me and Hot Dog definitely have a shared philosophy on, especially when it comes to Dungeons and Dragons. We really don't give a shit about the rules as long as it doesn't break the game. If you want to have fun with something, go for it.
Yeah, so if you ever hear crazy stories or we ever tell someone this sounds completely unrealistic for any of you, the die-hard maybe DMs or players out there that know everything about it, we do kind of play it fast and loose. As long as it makes sense in the book and there's no actual disputing rules, it's generally good to go. I'm definitely a big proponent of the rule of cool, so I know this won't really mean much to any of you who don't
Let
play Dungeons and Dragons, but
shall we? We shall never forget Carl's Fried Corpses. That was going to be the highlight of our. That was originally our original goal, but it just got so sidewinded, just so off the rails at that point. We just completely forgot about it. For
yeah.
those of you obviously who don't know what the hell we're talking about, allow us to deliberate into this. I was a Beastmaster Ranger, and my partner that I had picked was a giant wolf spire we had decided to name Karl Marx. He drank vodka from the ceilings. He was a Russian boy. He literally saved our asses so many times. It's not
That
even
was,
funny.
yeah, DMing that was an absolute nightmare because I'd either forget to try to kill him or I would try and it would backfire on me. So he was kind of like your ace of spades, just like you get out of jail free card whenever anything happened. Oh, you need to be sneaky? Oh, we'll send Carl in first. He'll crawl on the ceilings. Oh, you need to do damage. You attack with Carl.
I had such a my stealth and my dex were just so cranked up on Rackness. I could get anywhere, sneak anywhere, get anywhere. I didn't have to worry about it. And then we have Ash, our bludgeoning, can't it be quiet for the love of his life, half-orc barbarian. And this man, 7 feet tall, 300 pounds of pure muscle, who liked to chomp on remains, just corpses, just snapped on an occasional femur from his enemies. He was a terrifying beast.
Yeah, really terrifying beast. like evil, evil. Like you can see the death in his eyes type of character.
We also had a joke because slowly, like somehow throughout the campaign, Ragnus's actions just slowly became more and more like corrupted and twisted. Like he went from being the rational person to just slowly going insane. So we figured he must have been magically cursed to slowly lose his mind. So as the campaign went further, everything that Ragnus did was just further down the depths of insanity. Like, sometimes I'm wondering, what am I even doing at this point? And I realize, oh wait, Ragnus is insane. I guess this works.
Yeah, by the end of the campaign, he was somewhere between, like, Willy Wonka and the crazy... crazy person everybody knows, the crazy family member everybody knows but nobody talks about. He was somewhere around there. It was beautiful.
And he also had a hobby of just randomly building full-sized wagons. Whenever he get bored, he would just build a wagon.
Yeah.
Need to pass some time, build a wagon.
So
that's actually where Ragnus's modern solutions come in. He created the Everyman cart. The Everyman cart. He sold it for 5 gold apiece. Something he could just build in his backyard with cheap materials. Just go and chop it down, build it up, make it, sell it. It was an all-terrain. They had practically all these for all intents and purposes. They had full clothes. They had doors to them. It could be dark as you wanted inside. They were all intents and purposes just mobile RVs.
Yeah, it was great. So, I think we are in the last, like, third of this, if we ended around the normal time. But, any closing thoughts on anything we've said? Anything else you wanted to bring up real quick? Anything you wanted to mention?
I'm just really excited to do this, and I hope you guys really enjoy listening to us ramble like this for an hour on end. This is just really fun. Honestly, this is really, really fun.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, I know this isn't one bit scripted. This is just us coming in. We decided we needed to do an introduction, even if in the future everything about this changes. We at least wanted to introduce ourselves, give you a little insight into things we do and things we like, kind of get the ball rolling so everybody knew kind of what to expect. Because in all honesty, we've never done anything like this before, podcast videos, nothing like that. So we didn't really know what to expect either. Still don't, actually. It'll be all up to you guys giving us feedback and things of that sort for us to know if we're doing good or bad or what we need to change to make things easier, better for everybody.
Pretty sure the first thing that needs to be changed is you need to get a better mic, bud.
Is my mic really that bad?
I literally heard like half that sentence that you were saying, if that.
Huh.
Your poor mic. I honestly think it's just a connectivity issue with you. Like, it's just bad.
Maybe. I'll see if I can fix it in post, but for now, I guess we'll have to suffer through it. But I am. All of this is really kind of not too good right now.
This is improv. This is for all intents and purposes improv with, like, segments. Segmented improv.
Yeah, I'll be looking into getting more equipment, better format. Hopefully, more and more of you guys check it out, give me feedback, give Otaku feedback too. He's doing this with me. Don't just bombard me. But and we'll flesh this out a lot more. But this was just the first. We wanted to get something out there, so we had our foot in the door. Took a little dip in the water, so everybody knew what was up. Aside from that. I mentioned the Dungeons and Dragons. I'll go into a little more detail there with the right now. I don't think there's any feasible way for aside from us reciting stories, any way for you guys to hear about more of that, see it, anything like that, because it's not streamed right now. It's just a private thing we're doing with some friends. But in the future, if you were interested, I might would be able to work something out
Oh yeah,
there
like if the
and
future
a little more.
if we get enough people interested in D&D, we might in the future make just a Discord for D&D related stuff and have like that week like a weekend game like with just a bunch of one-offs, nothing like deep campaign series, just one-off characters where we can just play a quick game with our fans, kind of short little storyline, something that can be done in a couple of hours.
That would be excellent. If you guys even wanted to, maybe in the future we could work around the schedule and have like either certain days of this podcast or maybe make a new podcast and it being about Dungeons and Dragons being a Dungeons and Dragons exclusive thing. Like I said, be it episodes of this or its own thing. Because I know I would really love that and I'd want to hear what anybody else listening would think. But if there's enough positive reception, I would definitely look into doing something like that in an instant. Anyway,
And for all of you who never played Dungeons and Dragons or don't know what it's about, I'll just put it like this. Whatever you're expecting, you're most likely expecting the wrong thing. Dungeons and Dragons, at its core, is just chaotic fun. It's a bunch of friends shouting at each other's lungs on the different things they're gonna do while not actually getting anything done for about 15 minutes, while the DM just silently begs for them to pick a choice.
Yeah, that does happen more often than I think everybody would like to admit. But I think a lot of people think when they hear Dungeons and Dragons, I mean, everybody has like an idea, like a preconceived notion of like what Dungeons and Dragons is. Like, oh, it's that nerdy game, blah blah blah. And I mean, they're not wrong. It's kind of the height of nerdiness, but it's
It
much
is,
more
but
than that. And
it's high of
you can
nerdiness,
do.
but it's the kind of nerdiness that anyone could get into. Like even your like coolest like buff fitness workout guy could just come in and play and be like, you know what? What are we doing? Like, why don't you just act like you do in real life? All right, so let's try to seduce this bitch in the bar. Go ahead and do it.
Even the ultimate Chad can at least sit down and kind of get a grasp on Dungeons and Dragons because it's about a lot of different things. It's not just reading through the rule books and stats and stuff. It is sometimes very much
Honestly,
just role playing
there are
stuff like
certain
that.
campaigns where you don't even need to fight. Like, you don't even have to do fighting and all that stuff. You could just role play as like a couple of merchants just doing merchanty things or just being a bunch of jocks in a bar trying to strut their stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing is, since a lot of times it's personal, if you want to make your own campaign as the GM, or the Dungeon Master, whatever you want to call it, because it doesn't always stay the same. There's different games and different systems out there that'll use a different thing. So GM is the broad term, but it's kind of up to them or what the players want. You can make your own campaign with your own rules and everything. So, I mean, it can be like right now,
Yeah,
I'm
because
running a
the
campaign.
campaign that I'm running right now is completely homebrew. It's got a lot of unique, zany, different features and systems that I noticed that people are really enjoying that. I'm really happy that you guys are enjoying that campaign because I put a lot of work into it, especially the war segments. I really have fun dictating the war segments.
Yeah,
Especially
that is excellent. That's
that
probably.
naval battle that you guys had. That one was intense as all hell.
Yeah, that was crazy.
There were
Yeah, that's
dragons
probably my
flying out of the
favorite part.
sky left and right. Ships
That's
being
probably one of my
sunk.
favorite parts of the whole campaign is any of the large scale battle segments. I've always been a huge fan of that kind of thing.
Basically, went from Dungeons and Dragons to Warhammer 40K and back to Dungeons and Dragons is the short way to explain it.
Yeah. Speaking of, this is kind of a different subject, still. I don't know if I even told you this yet. I can't remember. I don't think I haven't, but I might be wrong. Did I tell you? Me and some friends are actually going. We've never done any like cosplay or anything like that. Now, I've never even been to a convention, which I know will probably
I
sound
have.
heinous. Yeah, you've told me a
I've.
couple of your stories from conventions, but I've never been to one. But me, I think my brother and a couple other friends, we're all going. We're actually going to do a group cosplay and finally go to one later this year, maybe early next. I'm not quite sure. And I'm so happy. Everybody like unanimously agreed on the Castle Crashers, which is one of my favorite games, probably my third favorite game.
I would totally love to see like images of you guys all dressed up as castle crashers. But I remember fondly my first anime con I went to. It was Nakacon up here in Kansas City and or Overland Park here in Kansas. It was fun. I will tell you right now though, when we went into the merch section where everyone was just selling, like everyone had their booths to sell all their anime merchandise. It was the holy land of Gunpla. It was the holy land of Gunpla. There was so much. There were walls of it. It was insane. And they were all sold out by the end of the day.
Oh, yeah. People know you set up a stand at a convention and people are going to be buying what you're selling, even if it's worthless. People are just going to be buying mementos. It's a whole tourist trap. You go there and you buy the merch and everything else. People flock.
The scariest thing, like the one thing that... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, nothing. I was just gonna. Yeah, people love buying that stuff at conventions.
The scariest thing, though, like, is these guys had like easily 20 different perfect grades that were all gone within 5 minutes.
Ooh, I'm guessing you bought close to 20 of them.
I wish I had the money because they're each $150 to $200 a piece.
Ah. Yeah, ooh.
Perfect grades. That was the one that I really wanted. It was a perfect grade Ale Strike. The Strike is one of my favorite Gundams of all time. I just love the design of it. I love the multiple packs system on it. It's just one of my favorite design Gundams.
You would not be alone there. A lot of people like the Strike Gundams.
See, I'm not a huge fan of the Strike Freedom. I like the Freedom. Just the basic bare bones Freedom. I liked the Freedom when it first came out, although they did get a little too beam spam happy throughout the show. I do like the Freedom. I love its design. I love the wing articulation. It just looks great. And it just screams, I'm going to murder every single Mega in this place.
Whoa.
I used him.
Oh, okay. This is... You can't scare me like that. You can't scare me like that. You can't do that. And then back out. No, I used another letter. Don't do that to me again.
All right. I won't. But it was one of my favorite design Gundams. And whenever I play any kind of Gundam versus, my go-to staples were either the Strike or the Freedom. I played a lot of the PSP, like, Gundam fighting games. I got a PC at one point. I just downloaded the emulator, and I played my heart out on those games.
Yeah. I just like the gems. I just like the basic grunt suit look sometimes more than even Gundams. Like, the RX-78 is cool because it's, you know, really basic.
It's the grandfather. It's the grandfather Gundam, but at the same time, it does have that kind of... At some points it's too blocky and other points it's too like curved and round. It doesn't feel like something. You could tell it wasn't meant to be mass produced. It was meant to be like a super weapon.
Yeah. So it kind of feels like a grunt suit, but just upgraded like on steroids, which I do like. But eventually, like so many Gundams just have like edge here and there and spikes and wings and then wings stacked
on
the
wings. Honestly, I think...
Cannons all up their arms. And I'm like, yeah, no, can I get, you know, a super robot? Can I get a mech? Not...
I honestly think one of your favorite... I think one of your favorite Gundam series, if you were to watch it, is War in the Pocket. Well, either War in the Pocket or the 8th MS Mobile Team. Those two are excellent. Those two are excellent. They're very short. They're very, you know, compact. They're just side stories. But they're very well done side stories. Especially War in the Pocket. I think it's only like 4 episodes. It's been a while since I've seen it. So like,
I will check it out.
They're like 4 episodes, but it's a beautifully crafted OVA, and it's such a... destroys your emotions. It kills you. It kills you inside because of how sad the ending is.
Oh, God. Okay.
Because
I will check it out.
War in the Pocket is one of those ones where it really highlights the tragedy of war.
Yeah.
By basically the tragedy of war as in like kind of like the Civil War kind of thing where brothers would end up fighting brothers.
Oh yeah, that's always
but
the worst.
That level, like it's that level of tragedy.
Oh yeah, I need to see that then. I need to see that. Speaking of sad, I did relapse today. For obviously anybody who hasn't
Did you
heard this
rewatch
story
Anohana again?
before,
Did you
for anybody who hasn't heard this story, I have an addiction to a few animes that I just have to rewatch, maybe bi-monthly. There's Anohana, Toradora, and I can't remember the other one at the moment, but I did decide to start and rewatch Anohana today. I only got through the first two episodes, but I'm going to be finishing it. Anybody who hasn't seen that
you
show,
just love
you
to
need
kill your emotions. You just love to just die inside a little bit every time you watch it.
Oh yeah. Just a little. I want to get to the point where my soul has chipped away, and it's just so, just don't. It's literally like, it's not even there anymore. And I just want to get to the point where I can just watch the show, just stone face God, just the whole time. I don't know when that'll happen, if ever, but that's what I'm going for right now. But in the meantime, God, it is so sad, and any.
I've actually rewatched Silent Voice a couple of times, and I don't know why I keep doing it because it's so depressingly uncomfortable. Like, it's a hard movie to watch. It is
It is.
so hard to watch.
Where did you see that the first time? Where are you watching it?
Turns out once I got my phones to once I switched my phones, it was just that previous phone that wouldn't play it. This phone will actually play that file you sent me.
Oh, okay. I was going to mention for future reference, it's out right now to buy. Like, you can buy
Yeah,
it at
I
the
know.
PlayStation
I
Store.
saw that. I was happy. I was excited. I'm like, let's do this. I also have
I'm
Your
probably
Name
going to get that
purchased
during
and
the day.
owned, and I will say this. It has one of my favorite anime soundtracks of all time. It's such a beautiful fucking soundtrack. Radio Wimp really knocked it out of the park with that whole movie.
It's been about a year and a half since I saw that movie, so I don't remember a lot of the details, especially like the soundtrack and stuff. I need to rewatch it. I need to rewatch A Silent Voice. I've only seen that movie once, and it was extremely hard to watch, I have to agree. And it's definitely one of those sad movies. It's not a
It
happy,
honestly, like,
good movie.
the movie doesn't even do justice to the comics. The comics are even the manga is even more like emotionally destabilizing.
Oh yeah, from what I've heard, the manga is just a joyride of just foul, horrible.
What makes it hurt that much more when you read the manga is you get to actually look inside her head and whatever she's like her thoughts that she's never really able to say. So like her reactions to the ma to main boy just get that much more like disheartening. Like it hurts that much more.
That is. Ooh boy, that's something. I need to read those mangas. But yeah, in conclusion, anybody who hasn't seen Your Name, A Silent Voice, or Anohana, watch those. Especially
They're all beautiful. They're
Anohana,
all beautiful pieces of work.
you can watch Anohana free. Yeah. I watch it on Crunchyroll. You can check it out there as well if you want to. I have no problem promoting that show till the day I die. I don't care what you do, that show is excellent. It is excellent, and it'll rip your heart out if you're sad, if you're a sad person, if you don't like that kind of thing. Obviously, though, to kind of steer clear of it if you genuinely don't like that kind of thing. But if you do, go for it. It's sad.
Speaking of sad shows that really touched me, Violet Evergarden really hit some deep places with me. Like, I love Violet Evergarden. That show is one of my favorite of all time. It's easily, honestly, it's either number one or number two.
It's definitely a good
It's
show.
visually appealing in all aspects. There's not a single bad scene in that show. There's every single moment is so picturesque. Every single animation is so fluid. It's eye-gasm to just look at. You could take the entire plot, you could just ignore the plot and just watch it just for the visuals, and you'd still be satisfied by the end of it.
Yeah, it really does look that good. If you just cut out everything, audio, story, I mean, just looked at it, it will still fill you with joy just looking at it. It's beautiful. And it was Kyo Annie, wasn't it? Which, I mean, explain
Kyo Annie. It was definitely, I'm pretty sure it was a Kyo Annie.
their shows are gorgeous. Everybody knows it, and it's no exception at all. In fact, it like sets the standard for good looking anime.
Basically, the three standard setters are Madhouse, Kyo Annie, and Trigger. Those are the three trendsetters.
Yeah, they are. I think that will be the end of that segment. One last thing before we go, because we're getting right around the end. I definitely thought, and Otaku definitely agreed, we should probably do like a favorite things of the week that you guys could check out if you wanted to, or just, I can continue obsessing over like I already will be. Is there anything you've done or seen recently, past couple of days, past week or so, that you would want to share? Something really cool, something you really liked?
There's nothing really new for me this week. Actually, no, I will. There is something that was interesting to me. It was a little tidbit of history I learned about the smoking snakes. Have you ever heard about them?
No.
They were three Brazilian troops in World War II. Three single Brazilian soldiers held off an entire German battalion.
Okay, so.
They fired until they're out of ammunition, and then they fixed bayonets and charged with their bayonets. All three of them died. They were given multiple opportunities to surrender by the Germans. And by the end of the fight, when the three Brazilian soldiers had finally passed away and died, the soldiers there had built them a memorial inscribed, like they had buried their bodies, gave them a memorial saying, three brave Brazilian heroes.
Wow,
These
pretty
guys
darn smart.
were some of the biggest badasses you could ever imagine.
Yeah, that's real shit. I love all that history. I love all that stuff. That's another thing. I don't know if either of us mentioned this. We're both huge World War II history nerds, or just all kinds of different like war history and stuff like that. So all that stuff, we're constantly doing research on that kind of thing. I'm obsessed with it, and that's not putting it lightly. I am literally obsessed with it, I would say. It's
Yeah,
excellent.
we have a severe bad obsession with it.
So, as for me, a thing like I've really liked recently, actually, this isn't anything new. I've known about this for a long time. I love it. An album by a band called Dance Gavin Dance. Their most recent album, I think, Robot. It is an excellent album, and I highly advise check it out. It's just awesome. They are. I'm not sure if they're considered indie anymore. I know they were for a while. They're definitely alternative, but it is some good stuff. Yeah, you should check it out. As for this, I think that's the end of this segment, and I think that'll bring an
Tune
end to the
in.
podcast.
Yeah,
Oh yeah.
hope you guys tune in next time. Next session we should be talking about, superheroes. We're gonna be cashing in on that whole Avengers Endgame craze, just because we're filthy sellouts. So
Oh yeah.
hope you guys enjoy talking about superheroes, because we'd love to hear your favorite superheroes, and why, what you would really cool like. Oh, one thing I do have to say before you kind of cut this off. Have you ever heard of
Oh yeah.
Spider-Man?
No?
He's Spider-Man, made up of a hive mind of spiders.
Yep, that's what I figured you were gonna say. Yep.
Okay, basically how this one happened is, normally Peter Parker is bit by a spider and, gets his powers. This one, in this version, it was a giant colony of spiders, constantly bombarded with radiation, and Peter Parker fell into the vat where he was consumed. But the spiders got a hive mind where they literally think they are Peter Parker.
Who thought of this? This is a monstrosity.
It's hilarious too, because they've actually developed a taste for human flesh, but they had to act like they don't like human flesh. So
That's
like they'll say occasional things like, "But I totally don't want to eat that person right now."
I need to. Is that like in a comic or
it,
what?
It's a
I
comic.
need to.
It's a comic. It's the whole the Spider-Geddon comics with the whole Spideyverse.
Okay, yeah, I need to read this immediately.
Just look
this
up
might become
Spider-Man. He's hilarious. It's the most jokiest gag character I've ever seen.
I will. It's a deconstruction of Spider-Man. Oh, what if it was actually a bunch of spiders that ate Peter Parker?
And just became a hive mind that think they're Peter Parker.
I'll check it out
that
when
have
I'm on
gained
home.
that have gained the taste for human flesh.
Back onto the subject of wrapping up, though, I do want to say this, as we've said numerous times already, was unscripted. Nothing here was scripted. In fact, it was actually rather impromptu. I mean, we planned yesterday to do it today, but we didn't know exactly what time or anything like that. So I do apologize for the lower quality. It will be gaining quality rather rapidly. I want to set the schedule so we know exactly when things will be released for you guys. I want to increase mic quality, things of that sort. Really get down the format of the podcast as well, so it's not
just us rambling nonstop about like crazy madmen, but more like rambling like insane asylum addicts who like have a bit of structure.
Yeah, we're like regimented psychopaths. But anyway, this was so this quality isn't going to be the norm. Everything from, like I said, mic quality to scheduling. So I hope everybody else will join us then. There anything else, any last minute thing you need to say?
Nah, I think that's, we've said all we needed to say in this podcast, but you know, what do we know? We're just two happy accidents.
Yep, just two happy accidents. Adios.